listen. We're gonna start, today's what, the 16th, ain't it?
Yeah, okay.
All right, it's not this week, but starting next, well, Sunday, but it starts Monday through Friday, yeah, through Friday. Of not this coming week, but next week. Sheldon Baptist Church, gonna be having a revival there. So y'all be much in prayer for them. And they have them a new pastor now. Brother Hall, he retired from his church, and which he's still going around doing some preaching and everything. And filling in. But we need to be really, you know, prayer state that the Lord will bless the revival. I know they were having, you know, they was having problems too and everything, but you know, I don't know of a church today that does not have problems. As long as you got people in it, and as long as you got in dealing with people, you're gonna have problems. But I'm thankful that we don't have that many problems. And the only problem that we have is that we just can't get the people to come back. But I'm praying, and that's all we can continue to do. As they come in, that we just pray and just ask the Lord, if the Lord will be pleasing for them to come and serve Him. But we're just living in that day and time, and it ain't gonna be long before the Lord comes back. And Sister Nancy, the song that you sung, I love that song. I really did. Well, the song you sung and Sister Taylor Neal sung, Sister Huff sung. Yeah, Sister Taylor, you got to get up here and sing. oh, man, I was just kidding. But, right. Okay. And Sister Betty. But no, I enjoyed all the songs this morning, and, you know, the songs that where people sing, don't ever think that you come up here and you sing and say, well, I'm just up here to sing, and you know, and I just can't do anything. I'll be off tune and off key and everything. Well, guess what? I've went and I've heard some of the best I hear, that yet they say that's a calling, but to me that's not a calling, not from God's word, is not. It's a talent that God has given them. But some of the best that I've seen, and I've even heard Squire Parson in person. Let me tell you what, if you really listen close enough to them, they got a flaw. Everyone's going to have a flaw in the song and everything, and I'm not belittling them or nothing like that, because ain't nobody going to sing on key and perfect until we get to heaven. And have you ever thought about the song that we're going to sing, that new song in heaven? Now, I have no idea what the song is going to be, but what I do think is a good possibility could be, and that's redeemed. Because the angels in heaven don't know anything about being redeemed. Not at all. They don't know anything at all about being redeemed. Because they've always been there with God. So, but we know what it's about, being redeemed. Being redeemed by the precious Savior. And that's the only way that we can ever go to heaven. It's through Him. We can't go no other way. We can't go through me going and getting in a closet in a little chamber room there, and I got another individual is sitting next to me over in the next booth or something like that, and I got to come to him and confess my sin to him. Why do I need to come and confess my sins to him? Because I don't know if they depended on what they call their fathers, that in the Catholic Church and everything, that they will go and are they depending on him to go to the Father in heaven with their prayer request? To me, that's what it seemed like. They're putting on an individual to go to God and say, Lord, they've come to... We don't need to do that. I love come face to face. I love come face to face with people. I love to know who I'm talking to. And I know the Lord. And I thank him every day. I really do. But if you will, this morning for a little while, I don't think I've preached this before, but if I have, I know I'll probably use the verses, or maybe the verses before, but I will not come out the same. I know that. Because God's words, anytime that I read God's word, and you know it is true, that you can read and think you can dissect everything that's in that verse, or in that chapter, or in that book. There, you can dissect every word there, and you think there's nothing else to get out of it. But when you got that running uphill, well, I done got everything I can out of that verse. There's no way. You can take each word of any verse. You can search them out in the Bible dictionary, in the Greek or the Hebrew coordinates and everything, and even in the dictionaries and what they mean and everything, and you can go and you can look. But I will promise you one thing, and I'll promise you on the authority of God's word, if you think you've got everything out of it, what you need to do is you need to reread it again tomorrow or next week, because there's something new going to come out and it's going to hit you square between the nose, between the eyes, not between the nose, between your eyes, because you ain't got one nose, I don't think. But when it does, you'll come to realize, hey, this is breathe the bun. This is God's word, his authority. But I want to try to bring you some thoughts on some points here that we'll see in chapter 3 of the book of Zebediah, which is, you have... which is not but about 4 or 5 books from the New Testament. But I want to bring you this thought about Israel. I mean, how Israel ended up being blessed here. And not where Israel ended up being blessed, that they come out of a state of of distrust or whatever. They turn their back on God. And it's like today. I mean, we can take it today. People are turning their back on God all the time. Zebediah chapter 3. And I really not pronouncing it right. I don't know. But if I'm not, I'm sorry. But it's, if you know where the book of Haggai is, it's right there. It's a book right before that. And Habakkuk is right out. It's right between Habakkuk and that. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page. Oh man, where was it at now? 960. If you got a Scofield Bible. Zephaniah. I tried it. When I especially get into the Old Testament, I start reading so many words in there. I go and get my CD tape that I got of Alexandria Scorby, because he can go on just read through it, and I'll tell you, he is good. But and I will get that out and I will listen to him, and then I'll stop and I'll try to quote it and everything. But I couldn't find it last night, or yesterday. But here we can see where Israel has turned their back on the Lord. And, you know, today we're seeing people turn their back on God. I believe I can ask each one of you to name at least 10 people that you know of that has turned their back on God. And you could just spit them out like that. And you don't have to think about it. But yet, they don't really know what they really turned their back on. They've turned their back on all of God's blessings and all of God's promises to them. And I say this, that when an individual turns their back on God, it's not that God still don't bless them. He does. Every day of their life, as long as they live, God is blessing them. Because they can nobody live without God. Even that individual that says he's an atheist, there is no such a thing as God. He cannot even live without God. And all of these devil worshipers out here that's worshiping the devil and going up and having all these rituals and everything. They can't do what they do if it wasn't for God. Because God allows things to come in people's lives to where they do, because you can go over to the book of Job. And in the book of Job, what does Satan do? Satan said, God, will you release Job unto me? He said, okay, I will. On one thing, except for one thing, you cannot take his life. See, God knew what Job was. God knew that Job was a righteous individual. That he trusted God so much that you could almost say that Job could almost be a type of the Christ. But instead of going into that explaining why I said that, but look at what all the things that Job lost physically. And the things that he could see, the things that he could touch. Look at what he had lost. But Israel here, they have lost the same thing. They have lost to the point that they just did not believe God no more. But I'm so thankful that Israel come back to where God was. And Israel started believing in God once again. And when he did, then Israel started to grow. They started to flourish. Now Israel become a nation once again, May the 7th, 1948. Because they had lost their status before then, way back. But Israel had come back, and people had been flocking back to the nation of Israel. All the Jewish people around the world has been flocking back to Israel. Why are they coming back to Israel? Because Israel is their homeland. And that would just, you take us as individuals now. When we go on vacation, or if we go for 3 or 4 days from a home, from where we live at, we'll get to the point that while we're gone, we'll say, I'll be so glad when I get home. Especially when you're traveling in the direction of home. And when you get home, you're so glad that you come back home. You take care.
All right,
we're praying for you.
See y'all.
All right, and...
Thank
you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm going to get Brother Bill to, we're going to start making some tracks and everything. If you want, I mean, not no tracks, but some tapes.
Okay.
If you want them, if you want some.
All right.
Okay. All right, you have a good evening. I know she hates to leave, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But you know, today, we see the same thing happening today. Where people today, it says, I don't need to go to church. Why I need to go to church? I don't need to take my time out on Sunday morning to go in and get dressed. I mean, I can stay at the house and I can stay in my pajamas and everything. And I can listen to some good preaching on TV. Yeah, they can. But see, God's not going to bless that. God's not going to bless somebody that does that, especially if they're able to get out. Now, what the TV or any radio station, what they really, when they first started out, and this is way before that I got saved, but what it was intended for it to do was reach the shut-ins. That's what it was intended for. It wasn't intended for the people that is able to go to church. Now, if you come up and you were sick or you had the flu or something like that, naturally, you don't want to go, you don't want to come to church and bring it and give it to somebody else at church. Because when you do that, then you're affecting other people in the church, and then you'll end up being out, and then they'll end up being out or whatever. But see, back then, even in some of the nursing homes back then, they didn't even have the TVs in there. They didn't have no TVs to where they could even plug up or anything like that. People didn't have the luxury of having a small TV. Some of them didn't even have the luxury of even having a TV. Some of them, only thing they had was a radio. I mean, I can't go back that far, but I can remember my grandmother talking about it. As she was growing up, she would say that they would gather around the radio and they would listen to the radio on Sunday, where there would be a preacher out here preaching. And it would not be no fly-by-night preacher. And it wouldn't be that many preachers out here on the radio. But the ones that was on the radio, they was preaching from the inspired Word of God. But today, they got anything and everything on the radio. Now, I know that here at the church, and Brother Bill and them had going up, they had it there before I come. And I thank the Lord for him, the way he was, he seen the vision to where he could go take the radio station and where he could go out and meet the needs of other people. Because I'll tell you, you'd be surprised at the people that when they go to church on Sunday, that they're hearing this and they're hearing that. And they're not hearing the gospel. And I tell everybody, I says, if you listen to somebody on TV, or if you listen to somebody on the radio, and what they're saying, back it up with God's word. If you cannot back it up with God's word, the best thing I can tell you to do is turn the TV off, or turn the channel. Because you'd be better off just watching a Andy Griffin show, or something else. But it says right here in chapter 3 of the book of Zebediah, and it says right here in chapter 3, in the very first verse, it says, "Woe to her." Now, who is he speaking to? Speaking to the nation of Israel. "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppression city. She obey not the voice. She receive not correction. She trusteth not in the Lord. She draw not nigh to her God." Other words, what they was doing, they weren't depending on God for their blessings. They weren't depending on God for anything that God had to offer. Because it says right here, it says, they wasn't even depending on the correction
where God was speaking to them and trying to lead them in the right direction. And I know that speaking to the moral state of Jerusalem, and it's in the prophet's time. But it's still speaking to the nation of Israel, and it's speaking to the people of Israel. And I think it's also speaking to the people of the day. I think it's speaking to the church today. Now, whether I hope I can bring you that the right way, but if you well, I'm gonna just say it, and I hope it's the right way. But if you're saved, if you're saved, and you know that you're saved, only you know, and God knows that. The only thing I can testify is by the fact of your faithfulness here to that point. But yet we have people also that's been faithful other times too. But where are they today? And when the church gets to the point, or when it gets down and everything, when the pastor retires and leaves, or when the pastor passes away like y'all's did and stuff like that, you know, that's not when the people should disperse. That's not when the people should start thinking about, well, I don't know who they're going to end up getting. And I just don't know. What they need to do is they need to get together with you. Because if they come any length of time at all, they knew the ones that was going to end up being here. They knew the one that was going to stand behind God. They knew who the one was going to stand behind Faith Baptist Church. But what did they do? They went on and decided them own selves to leave and to go somewhere else or whatever. You don't do that. You don't turn your back on people. Just like I tell people today, I said, don't turn your back on your family as quick as you do. Because sometimes the family, we don't know what the family goes through. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know if they're saved or if they're not. If they're not saved, well, we can assume that anything's going on. But we need to realize also that where they have not really heard the voice of God. Because I honestly believe if you ever hear the voice of God, you'll get up. People will get up and they will come to an altar. But how many people to this day and time did you see that don't even get up and come to the altar? I've been in churches and I've preached in them. I've preached in a church over in Isla Vista for a year. And I would, you know, they had never voted on nobody. But they asked me, would I come fill in for them until they got somebody? I said, yeah. I said, ever would. They just said they just want to wait. And they just want to make sure that the next one that they get will be the one that God wants. And I was there the whole year. But even today, I could probably, some of the names I can't remember, but I can see the faces now that I know that I would see them at the altar at least once a week. Either Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. But then it was others in the church that was there, but never got up. Never seen the need in coming to an old-fashioned altar. Now, I tell people all the time, I says, where was the Lord Jesus Christ's family at? Where was his family at when he was hanging on the cross? He was at the foot of the cross. They were at the foot of the cross. That's where Mary was. His mother was. That's where his brothers were. At the foot of the cross. And that's where all the other people were. They was there. But then Jesus said, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now what he was speaking to then, he was speaking to the individuals that put him to death, that hung him down on the cross. To suffer and to bleed. See, that's all they done. They put him out for him to suffer and bleed. But they did not take his life. He gave his life freely and he gave it for them. But where was he at the foot of the cross? What did Jesus hang on? A wooden cross. A wooden cross. Where the Lord Jesus and the Holy Father had grew the trees to where the tree one day would be the tree that would be bearing his son one day. And y'all, and I know what y'all are saying, and I appreciate it. I mean, I love y'all for that. But I'm thankful that some of you said this morning because it brought back this thought back to me that when I come up here. When I come up here and everything, this right here represents the cross. It represents the cross. Why? It's made out of the same wood that he grew. Mankind has tried their very best to go out here and to come out here and try to come up with our own type of tree. And what man is trying to do, they're trying to do that to where they can say, well, hey, guess what? You say that God grew the tree. God didn't grow this tree. This tree right here, I come up with this one. And the knowledge that I had, and the scientific that I come about, I put everything together in it. But they don't realize that they come back and they affirmed
what everybody else has affirmed, that God grew the tree. If I went out there and planted this summer a row of vegetables, and if we didn't have to have daylight the whole summer, we didn't have daylight, could I go out there in 45 days and go out there in that row and I can go out there and pick me a bushel of butter beans? Nope. They wouldn't even come up by the ground. Why? It didn't have no sunlight on it. It didn't have the moisture that God would give, because God will not allow men to even think that they can do things that he can do. I mean, that's a proven fact. That's the reason we have the word hell in the Bible. That's the reason the rich man went to hell. Why? It's because of what happened there in heaven 1,000 years before that, was when Lucifer, he said to God, and he probably said, Father, he said, I believe I can do it just as good as you can. I ain't saying I know exactly what he said, because I don't. But I can imagine that's probably what he would say.
But he never heard the voice. He did not even hear the voice of God. What he was hearing was his own voice. And that's what I'm scared that's happening today. We have a whole lot of people that will come into church and they will sit on the pews. And they don't take on the fact that they need to be listening. Today that we, you know, the day and time that we live in, we don't hear no good news at all. I stayed home from church this morning. No doubt between now and 12, between I, this morning and 12 o'clock, I'd have heard bad news. I'd heard about something that had happened the night before. But see, that's one reason I don't even get the paper. I mean, we get it, but I don't even look at it in the mornings. Matter of fact, I don't even hardly look at it anymore. But I, even before that, when I did go and I looked at the paper, and I would go and I'd read it and read the paper and I'd go through it all through. But I never did go and get the paper early on a Sunday morning and even read it. I mean, I know some preachers I hear, some preachers, they'll go out here and they'll get it and they'll say, well, they get it and they'll open it up. And the reason they do that, they'll open it up and to the obituary columns. What are you going to do that for? I mean, because it's not a time that you cannot read in the obituary columns and read the obituaries and everything, some of the things that they got written there. You know, you can feel it within your own heart and soul that they didn't know God. Just like here was a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I didn't even know the boy's name or nothing like that. But it had his picture in the paper, in the obituary column. And he had a can of beer in his hand. Now, you know, if I had a family, and I would definitely tell them, I said, please, don't put that in any bitchy words. Even if I stood there, if I drank it all the time. But see, they put it in the paper like, that's what they love. And your heart breaks for them. Did no one go by there and talk to them? It just breaks my heart. And then you go on, you read on. Then you go to someone else's obituary column. And then you see, well, they've gone on to heaven. They've taught Sunday school class for 25, 30 years. They've taught this and that. They sung in a choir. And they was always there at the church. If anybody ever needed anything, they could always depend on them. They could always depend on them being there. That's what I love to hear, but I know it's that you don't hear that all the time. But it's sad that, well, it's a whole lot of people, they just don't listen. They just don't. I don't know if they just don't think that they can listen. Or are they thinking about this and that? They're thinking about everything under the sun. I don't know. But I believe once they come through the doors, I believe what they need to do is they need to clear everything from their mind. They need to leave what was going on this morning before they left the house, and even after they left the house, and even coming all the way to church, before we walk in the doors, we should say, Lord, I'm going to leave it right here. You know, because once you bring it in, you're defeated. You're defeated if you bring something in within this the church that keeps you down all the time during the week and everything. And then when you bring it to church, you don't feel like that when you leave church that you've been in church. Now sometimes I felt that way, that I have not even been in church. But it wasn't because of the people. And it wasn't because of the preacher that was preaching the message. It was because of me and where my mind was at. And what I was thinking about. I wasn't trying to listen to where I could hear something from God.
But now, Israel, they started listening once again to God. And in 1948, in the month of May, they become a nation again. They could become a state. They become a little small nation right there. In the size of this church, which would, I would say, could represent the state of Virginia, and this right here, as small as that is, could represent the nation of Israel. We could have all the weapons we want. We can have all the technology that we want. We can have all the manpower that we can muster up. But we'll never harm this nation. Iran, and over there, Iraq, and them places over there, and Russia. They've been wanting to destroy the nation there. They were wanting to destroy Israel. But see, they ain't never tried. You know the reason they ain't tried? Oh yeah, they've come here lately and they've tried to send some rockets over there and everything. But see, the nation of Israel there has got one thing that even the United States don't have no more. And before then, even that, the nation of Israel had one thing which is called the golden doom. The golden doom that they could search out the missiles that come in and could direct the missiles away from Israel. And they've done that. They've showed Iran that they can do that. But now they got God on their side. They went 400 years from hearing from the voice of God. I couldn't go that long. What if I went that long, I'd be done committed suicide 5 or 6 times between now and then. And probably wouldn't even, I'd probably just have give up on that and that because I couldn't do it. Because that would be a type of hell, really, is not hearing anything from God. But the nation of Israel, when it became a nation once again, they started hearing the voice. And when they started hearing the voice of God, then what happened? The people wanted to go back to their homeland. Wanted to go back to their homeland. Hey, that's what I'm longing for one day. One day I want to go to the homeland that God has prepared for me. I want to be able to go and stand there on the street that is pure gold. I want to be able to go there and I want to be able to go in that mansion
And it's a mansion. He didn't say many rooms. He didn't say anything about rooms. He said a mansion. So what that, the mansion he's preparing me is going to be within a mansion. Because we're going to be right there with God. See, God's in it. God's everywhere. God's everywhere. God knows everything. He's just God. And if, you know, and if people don't believe me and, you know, and say, well, you shouldn't have been so harsh on the church. Well, you know, I don't try to be harsh. I just, you know, I'm just a mail carrier. I just deliver God's mail. And His pay is good. His pay is good. His pay is out of this world. I'm not worried about what I put up there in Him. Because see, it's going to eventually burn. Naked I was out when I was born into this world. I was naked. When I leave this world and when I go back, I'm going back the same way. Ain't nothing that I've got, no kind of garment that I can come up with. I cannot even find a piece of garment or a coat or a suit or anything the way I could put on. He said, well, you come on in. You're looking mighty fine today. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to just drop this coat off. I'm going to drop these pants off. I'm going to drop my shoes off. Drop my socks. I'm going to drop everything off of me. And when I get there, when I get that, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Only thing he's going to see is the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness which he gave. And he gave it, had to give it to me through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That is the only way that I'm going to be able to say that I can for sure that know him and he knows me. Because see, we're not going, see, I'm not going before him naked. I'm going to leave this world naked. But before I go through the gates there, the pearly gates, where everybody said that Peter's standing there and welcoming people in and going over their list and everything and said, well, I don't see your name down here for you to come in. That's just, I don't like even talking about something like that. But you know, when I get there, before I go through the pearly gates thing, before I even step on the streets of pure gold, before I can just before I can even get to Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm going to have the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness on. Because that's the only way that I can worship him. That's the only way that anybody can worship him. Thank the Lord, I'm so thankful that I have the garment of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ given me. And after he'd given me the garment, and he placed it upon me, my salvation. And he said, well, man, go on. You all right? No, he said, you ain't for this dress. Yeah, I'm done. I got a dress. Now, put the robe of righteousness on. Did you realize that that's the reason God cannot see sin in us no more? Because we have the robe of righteousness. If you're a savior, because the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone stand, head bowed, eyes closed. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, today. And Father, we thank you for thy precious word. Lord, but most of all, Father, we are so thankful that, Father, that you've seen that where I needed you. And I'm so thankful that you just did not say, well, I'm going to have to wait until you come to me first. No. I'm so thankful he didn't wait. I'm so thankful that he did not wait on that. That's the reason he allowed the Holy Spirit to come about. That's the reason the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, come about in the book of Acts, Father. And Father, we thank you for that, that for the Holy Spirit can convict our soul, Father. And I'm so thankful that when I come and I approach thy throne, and I say, yes, Jesus, I've tried everything. I don't know what else to do. There's nothing else that I can do. I don't want to go to hell. Yes, Father. I'm so thankful that you sought me out. And you released the Holy Spirit upon me. Thank you, Father, that you cared that much for me. That you would save me. Father, thank you for these people that you cared for also. Lord, we do thank you for all the other people that you do care for. Father, they have just not have heard the voice. Well, they have heard the voice, but they just not heeded to it yet. Lord, we pray that you'll give each one of these individuals the desires of the heart. And Father, that they will just be faithful and true to you. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you will bless them this afternoon. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll be with each one of us until we can come back and be here. We thank you for what you've done this morning. We thank you for thy presence. We love you because it's in Jesus' precious name.